I love that song, and I love that last phrase. It is good to know that our sins have been washed away. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to see you this morning. It's good to worship the Lord together. And I know that other people are worshiping other places. As a matter of fact, Pastor Charles is 100 miles or so from here at one of our Free Methodist churches, filling the pulpit for them as their pastor is away. And I also want to introduce to you or reintroduce to some of you who have met our district, our Free Methodist district leader. We have a district up here, Fargo, northern Minnesota. Some of you have met Jim McGaffey before, some of you haven't, so I'd like you to make a warm welcome to my district leader, Jim McGaffey. Please stand, Jim. There are two other pastors here today with us, so I have to be on my best behavior. I just want to mention that prayer list to you again. Lots of prayer needs. Lots of folks would surely appreciate your prayers. And so take a look from time to time at that prayer list and just lift them up in prayer. This past week, there's been more loss of life in the community. Some of ours have ended up in the hospital this week. Some of ours have ended up in care centers this week. COVID is still around. Obviously, cancer continues to assail many, even in our congregation and certainly in our community. So just please take a look at that from time to time and lift those folks up in prayer. Let's do that now. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you that we can come to you no matter where, no matter when, no matter what. And I thank you, Father, for answered prayer. You've been so good to us, Lord. You've been so good. And we give you praise this morning, Father. We give you praise for so many things. But just for starters, you deserve our praise and worship. And so we give you our praise this morning, Father. As we have lifted up our voices in song, in humble adoration to you, we just continue to praise you, Father. We continue to praise you, Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one God, we worship you. We love you. We need you. Our nation needs you. Our churches need you. Our families, our schools, our businesses. We as individuals need you, oh God. And so, Father, as we have gathered here this morning, we're just a group of brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors that have come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And even though our minds are full of things and our prayer focus is full of names, will you quiet our hearts, Father, so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth this morning? And will you quiet our hearts and quiet our minds from the busyness of the life that we live, the lives that we live, and help us to hear from you, O God? Father, I don't know what word you have for every individual here, but I just pray, beginning with me, we would hear from you. And so I thank you for everyone here. I pray for them and pray that you would encourage them and sustain them and use us, your people, to be that army, the hands and feet of Jesus, as we talked about last night, to love intentionally, last week, to love intentionally our neighbors, to make disciples. Will you use us, O God, for your glory? And all the rest of your church in North America and the world, Father, oh, we would pray again for revival. We would pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be poured out in powerful ways, and entire communities, entire cities, entire regions would be transformed for you, O Lord. We would pray for revival again. We would pray this morning, Father, for those names on our prayer focus. You know the difficulties. There's been death. There's been divorce. There's been loss of jobs. There's been COVID. There's been cancer. There's been treatments. There's been surgeries. There's been difficulty. There's been depression. Oh, God, only you in your goodness can deal with all these things. We just commit them to you and ask for your will to be done. And for the rest of the churches gathering in our region right now, Father, bless them. Draw them unto yourself, all of us, to a closer walk with Jesus. May the name of Jesus be lifted up, and may you, our Heavenly Father, you who is seated on the throne in the heavens, that has the 24 elders bowed down before you, in front of you, the four living creatures around you, and the 10,000 times 10,000 angels around you giving you praise, may we give you that same praise today and always. I pray in the name of Jesus. Guide us by your Spirit. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 5. It will be on the big screen, I'm sure, but I would encourage you to get your Bible out and follow along. Now, let me say this before we get to John 5. Every year, you know, most of you know, that some of us from this congregation, pastors like Jim and myself and Charles and others from here, delegates and such, we go to what we call the annual conferences. We didn't last year because of COVID, but we typically do every year, first or second weekend in June. And over the last 10-plus years, as we get there, one of the things that happens at those conferences, we're challenged by our bishop. Now, the bishop in the past, all three of them retired at the same time, so we have new bishops. I've not met the new bishop yet. I've not even met the new superintendent because of the COVID. We have Jim, as I mentioned, as our district leader, but I haven't met those up the ladder. But every year, our bishop comes to us. In the past 10-plus years, it was Bishop David Kendall. And 5 years ago, he brought a message to us that just really spoke to my heart. And I was thinking about this over the last couple, 3 weeks. I'm not going to use his sermon, but I am going to quote him a couple times. But Bishop Kendall, 5 years ago at our conference, based his statement on a biblical phrase, comes from John chapter 5 here, that I have been pondering much lately. I have been pondering it for our nation. I have been pondering it for our churches. I have been pondering it for us as individuals. That statement from Jesus that Bishop Kendall shared that day is simply, do you want to be made well? And so as we look at John chapter 5 today, I want to challenge us with that question. And I want us to dig deep today, brothers and sisters. Do we really want to be made well? Let's take a look at John chapter 5 before we go any further. Here's what it says. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these, that's the five porches around the pool, lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, the Bible says, lame people, paralyzed people, all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel, verse 4 says, and some of your Bibles, if you've got an NIV translation, maybe some others, they won't mention this in its entirety. Some manuscripts have this, some don't. That's why some Bibles are a little bit different in verse 4. But here's what it said. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, I don't know how often that happened. I don't know when it happened. The Bible doesn't necessarily speak to that. I'm sure there are some places that we could look to find more about that. But apparently there was some phenomenon in some time past that the water had been stirred, whether it's by God's hand or by an angel. And apparently, as that phenomenon happened, it occurred when somebody got into the pool after it had been stirred. They were well. Apparently that had happened because, and perhaps even more than once, because this multitude was there all anticipating the same thing. When that water moves, I got to get in to get well. So apparently this had happened some in the past, to the point that many were interested, that said to themselves, "Self, I need to be there. When that water stirs, I need to get in." Apparently, a miracle had taken place. That's why they're all there, a great multitude. The Bible goes on to say, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. The Bible doesn't say that he was laying there beside the pool 38 years, but he was definitely infirmed with this problem 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, remember there's a great multitude of people there, all of them needing a miracle. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" I'm sure by looking upon this multitude of people, that answer should be obvious. They all needed a miracle. But I believe that this demonstrates to us God puts the ball in our court when he asks us, "Do you want to be made well?" He's not going to force you to trust him. He's not going to force you or I to deny ourselves to follow him. He will extend the invitation, Jim and all the rest, "Do you want to be well?" And that's what he did for this man. The Bible says the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." I don't know if he'd experienced that already or not, but he knew in his condition, and he knew the multitude, and perhaps he knew the distance to the water. He knew there was obstacles to being well. He knew that. And it might even appear because of the obstacles, he didn't even have an expectation to be well. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Hallelujah. The Bible also says, immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. That's good stuff. Immediately. In his heart, he said, "Okay, he's saying something. I got to go with it." He thought first there's obstacles in the way, but when he responded to Jesus, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," the Bible says, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and he walked. Now, there is more to the story than that. I don't have time to go into that. I'd encourage you to read that this afternoon. He got healed on a Sabbath. And so the legalists, the religious elite, they weren't happy about that. You can read about the rest of the story. And Jesus challenges him further about his walk with Jesus. But this is as far as I want to go today, because I want to focus here on this statement. Do you want to be made well? Quote from our bishop 5 years ago. If we could do an X-ray of the body of Christ, the picture would not be encouraging. There are broken aspects of the body all over. Now, Bishop Kendall, he's been all over the world, and he's seen lots of things. Plus, he's a bishop of the Free Methodist Church. This was 5 years ago. And further, along with that statement, he said, at that time, 51% of the Free Methodist churches are in decline or plateaued. That was in America. Praise be to God, they're growing in other places. But he challenged us that day as pastors and those working towards ordination and those that were there as delegates. If we could do an X-ray of the body of Christ, you know what an X-ray is. You look at the bones, you look at the joints. If we could do an X-ray of the body of Christ, his suggestion was that day, the picture would not be encouraging. Why? Because there are broken aspects of the body all over. Then he said, churches in the United States of America need help. They need treatment and healing. And what he said next is what got my attention, is what brings me to thinking today in 2021 for America, as a nation, for the American church. He said, I'll start that again, then the second part of his quote. Churches in the United States of America need help, need treatment, need healing. And we may not be able to see or understand that we need the help. We may not even see our need, that we're broke. I'll get to the broken part in a minute. Bear with me. And I ask myself then, as I've been pondering it from time to time, and I've really been pondering this statement, do you want to be made well, this whole year, this whole month, this whole year. And I ask myself, what does Bishop Kendall mean then? What does he mean now? What does it mean for us today? And I can't answer for him in all of its entirety what he said or what he meant. But I do believe that part of what he was saying is this. In the church in North America, we have done this or we have done that. For so long, we're not sure of how to do things differently. And quite frankly, we're not sure we need to do things differently. Picture the man for a moment, and then the church in comparison. The man had been in this condition for 38 years, beggar, on his mat. At some points, down at the pool at Bethesda, obviously he was there at some point. I don't know if he was there every day or if he was there on festivals or if he was there on the Sabbath. I don't know that, but obviously he was there. But his condition was such that it seems he accepted his brokenness. Nothing is going to change my condition. It seems he accepted his brokenness to the point he might have had no expectation to be any different. No expectation to be well. He might have been in that condition so long, and the church could be in North America in the same condition, that we've done things this way, we've done things that way, so long, we're not sure how to do it indifferent. I don't need to remind you, friends, but America's in trouble. And the American church, to a degree, is also in trouble. Not everyone, not every individual, not every congregation, but overall in North America, by looking closely at the X-ray, I believe that we will see that the church is broken. I could give you some examples. I'll just give you a couple to ponder. You know, a year ago, or almost a year ago, we were talking about false teachers and false teachings. And the Bible said that in the end times, false teachers are going to be everywhere. They're going to be tickling ears. They're going to be doing this. And what are false teachers and false teachings doing, friends? Leading people astray. That's a broken church. And in America, perhaps around the world, I'm not sure, but in America, because the Supreme Court said this, or the Supreme Court said that, or a law said this, or a law said that, that is contrary to the Word of God, some in the church have not only embraced that, but celebrated sin. That's a broken church. There was a time in Christianity in America when holding one another accountable, our feet to the fire, so to speak, was a good thing. It helped us grow in Jesus. But now, we suggest to a brother or sister something is out of scriptural sorts, we're labeled as judging. The church, as Bishop said, if we take an X-ray of the church, it's broken. Jesus said to this man who had been in this condition so long, he probably saw no opportunity to be well, to be different. He probably saw no opportunity to be healthy, may I say? Actually, healthy? Jesus asked the man, do you want to be made well? And I wonder today, friends, as followers of Jesus, first and foremost, do we want the church of Jesus to be well? Do we care? You say, what do you mean, Jim? Wouldn't we want to be all we can for Jesus? The harvest fields, we talked about this last week, the harvest fields are ripe. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? The harvest fields are ripe. Wouldn't we want the church to be completely well so we can be part of what God has left us here for in the first place, and that is to be part of the harvest? Wouldn't we want to be Holy Spirit-led? Wouldn't we want to be that new creation that the Apostle Paul talks about? Wouldn't we want to be holy people that God said in the Old Testament and Peter said in the New Testament? You are to be holy people when you come to Christ. Wouldn't we want to be that way? Maybe we don't. Maybe we're like the dude on the mat. I'm kind of comfortable here. After all, I beg enough, I get a little provision. I ain't ever going to get in the pool anyway. Maybe we're like the guy on the mat in the church in the 21st century here in 2021. Maybe we're okay with where we're at. That's not where Jesus would have us to be. Okay on the mat. Are you hearing me this morning? That's not where he would keep us. He extends that offer to be well, church and people of God. Years. When I think of that, okay, I mean, I ain't the healthiest cat in the class anymore myself. But when I think of this guy for 38 years in this infirm condition, and someone comes along and says, "Do you want to be well, brother?" Wouldn't the automatic answer be, "Hallelujah, let's do it"? Or we might say, "Hello." Yeah. 38 years. Quote from Bishop Kendall. Is it possible that in the Church of America today we have done something so long, or we have been a certain way so long, we don't even know what well is? Is that possible? I think it is. We have done things so long. We've been on the mat for 38 years. We're not even sure what well is. I'll tell you for starters what it is, friends. It's looking to the author and finisher of life and denying ourselves and taking up our cross and getting serious with Jesus. And then the bishop said this. Is it also possible that when we have this offer from Jesus to be made whole, to be made well, to be made more healthy, and to be better than we are now, that we start with excuses why we cannot be well? Is that possible? I think it is. When we refer to the man that had been there for I don't know how long, we know he'd been infirm for 38 years, he'd been around this Bethesda pool for a long, long time, perhaps he'd perhaps seen others get healed, and he's got the offer. Do you want to be made well? And I believe that the church has the same offer. I do. I believe that the church of Jesus Christ in North America needs to be well, and I believe we've got the same offer, and I believe sometimes we do the same thing that he did. We start making excuses, it ain't gonna happen. I believe we do the same thing. We start to think and operate on physical limitations. Sir, I have no one to get me into the pool. Someone else is gonna get there first. I'm never going to make it. I believe we make the excuse, brothers and sisters, and here's where I'm at today. I believe here's where Jesus is at with the man and with the church today. We've got to stop thinking on physical terms. In his physical term, he couldn't get there before somebody else, but then enter Jesus. Amen? Amen. Then enter Jesus. Amen. He's the one that's going to make the difference. And for us to come up with excuses, well, I don't know. Boy, I don't know. Lord, it's a long ways to the pool. I don't know if I can really make a living if you want me to do this or do that. Quit the plant and go to the ministry. We come up with all kind of excuses. And if we do, we're never going to be well. Well, I can't do this, or Jim can't do that. No, we can't in our physical. But then enter Jesus into the equation. And when he said to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" he didn't leave it there. When the excuses started to come, what does Jesus do? He said, "Get a hold of that mat. Pick it up and move forward." And I believe that's what he's saying to the church today. Just because it seems like the world around us is going to heck in a handbasket, you know what I'm talking about. Your life individually may seem like it's going to heck in a handbasket. Certainly America does. Seems like it's going to heck in a handbasket. God comes along, Jesus comes along, and he tells the church, get that mat picked up and start walking. every now and then I just got to slow down a little bit and breathe, you know what I'm saying? Loosen my tie. I believe today, January 2021, that Jesus is asking the church, do you want to be made well? I know for a fact what you would say, and I know for a fact what I would say if Jesus come along in our physical infirmity or our difficulty in life right now that's physically more than spiritually, I know what the answer would be. Yes, Lord, do it now. I want to be well. Wouldn't we? Of course we would. Who likes to be on the mat for 38 years and beg when there's something better? And he was addressing his physical need, but he was also addressing his spiritual need. You got to read the rest of the story. You got to understand what he's talking about here. But I believe that God is asking the church today the same thing that Jesus asked his man. Do you want to be well? Do you really want to be made well? Now let me try to wrap this up, friends. I listen to some of the news. I read Christian publications. I listen to other pastors. And America's not well. That's not news to you, though, right? You still with me? America's not well. We're not well financially. We're not well morally. We're not well spiritually. We are not well. And according to our bishop, our former bishop, 5 years ago, and I believe you'd say exactly the same thing today, I feel the same thing today, the church in America is not well either. We're okay with being on the mat. We've got excuses why we can't be any better. When Jesus is offering to us his hand, you want to be made well. When I think of the condition of America today, oh, I love this nation. You know I do. I've said it 100 times. But when I see the legalizing of sin, the celebration of sin, the murdering of the unborn, the underminings of evil, when I see all these things, I conclude nothing more than what Isaiah said in chapter 1. We're sick. We're emotionally and morally sick. We need to be well. In Isaiah chapter 1, I'd read it to you, but I'm running out of time. In Isaiah chapter 1, you get that picture. I'd encourage you, read John 5 this afternoon. Read Isaiah chapter 1. And get that picture, what God is saying to Isaiah. He's saying to Isaiah, and he's talking about his own people, Israel. Simple things like, the ox knows its master, the donkey knows its stall, but my people don't know me. And he says a lot more than that in the first chapter of Isaiah. He said, your whole head is wounded. Your heart is afflicted. From the sole of your feet to the top of your head, you're full of sores. Some of your translations say, sick and full of sores. Some of it says, full of putrefying sores. We're sick. As a nation. And I wonder sometime as a nation, okay, I'm not talking about the church so much as a nation. I wonder, we've got this invitation from the living God to be well in Jesus, to be Holy Spirit led, to allow the Word of God to lead us instead of throw it on the shelf and call it out of date. We've got these opportunities to be well, and I'm standing here from where I'm standing today looking at America. I'm thinking, America, do we even want to be well in America? And the answer looks like no. I don't think I do. I like it where I'm at. And then the question filters down to the next step. Do we want to be well in the church in North America? Do we want to be well in the church in Motley? Bishop Kendall said if we could do an x-ray of the body of Christ, the picture would not be encouraging. But then there's that hand of invitation. I envision Jesus walking up to the man. People everywhere. Blind, lame, paralyzed, everywhere. And he walks up to this man. He says, do you want to be made well? And I believe he's saying that to the church in January 2021. In our weakness, in our sin, in our struggles, in our depression, in our difficulties, in our marriages, in our jobs, in our troubles, in our oppressive, this whole pandemic has seemed to got so many people oppressed. Do we want to be well in all of that? The hand of invitation is there. Church, do you want to be well? Now, yes, he's talking about physical. I said this already because this guy's been infirm for 38 years, but he's talking about more than that. Do you want to be well right here? Do you want to have that peace that passes understanding that only comes from Christ, that knows even if COVID comes or cancer comes or death comes or divorce comes or depression or oppression or financial ruin comes, I am going to be well in Jesus. That's what he's talking about. I believe that God is calling the church in North America today to wake up, pick up your bed, and get moving. Moving towards what, you'd say? Moving towards repentance, first and foremost. Repent. And if you've got to the point where you'd say back to me, Jim, I got nothing to repent of. Well, good for you. Then repent on behalf of America. Repent. I believe that we got to get that mat picked up and get on the move towards repentance for our nation, for our churches, for ourselves, for our families, and repent. God, we have sinned against you at every level. From the church house to the White House and every place in between, we have sinned against you. Get that bad picked up and walk towards repentance. Walk towards filling our lives with prayer. Move towards holiness. Move towards denying ourselves and willing to take up our cross to follow Jesus. Move towards, as we said last week, loving the neighbor as ourselves, seeking to save that which is lost. Move towards making disciples. Moving towards those things. There's a fair amount more in my notes, but I'm going to quit with this. Maybe two things. I believe that Jesus is calling the church to be well for the sake of others in our communities. Hear me now. Our community cannot be well in Jesus if the church is not well in Jesus first. Are you hearing me? The communities that we live in, which are a few, we come from different places, cannot be well if the people that claim Jesus are not well. I believe Jesus is calling the church to be well for the sake of our communities and maybe even our nation. Pastor Vody Bochum, I don't know his name well. I know he's got a college in Africa. I know he used to pastor in Texas. Maybe you know him better than I do, but I do know this quote he said last week is relevant. Here's what he said. It is important that we get the gospel right. Because if we don't, there are people out there, including ourselves, who will get duped into believing that they are right with God when in fact they are at enmity with God. The importance of not being broke. The last quote from Bishop Kendall. He said, Jesus is asking the church, do you still have hope? Or have you just learned to cope? Just let's get ready to sing. Are we okay with being on the mat? Do you still have hope? Or have we, in 2021, just learned to cope? I think that's the question for the church today. You see, friends, Jesus offers hope. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to trust Him as Lord. And even when we've been born again and we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, there can be difficulty. He reminded us of that. I think it's John 16:33. He reminded us of that. You're going to have trouble. Then he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus offers hope. He offers healing and health in our infirmities. And I'm simply suggesting by this scripture today and the challenge from our bishop 5 years ago, the same question is being posed to the church today. Do you really want to be made well? Then we've got to take His hand of offer. We've got to receive that grace, and we've got to move forward in the strength and the power of the living God, putting our faith in the Son of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and walk as He said to walk. He offers hope. I'm going to have my brother Jim close us in prayer, but I want to say this before he prays for us. You have to decide if you're going to get off the mat. We can lay there and make all the excuses. We have to decide if we're going to put our faith and trust in Jesus. We have to decide if we're going to deny ourselves. We have to decide if He's really Lord. That's where we're at for the church. We have to decide, are we going to follow Him? As difficult as the way around looks, are we going to follow Jesus? Brother Jim?
I'd like to say before, when I took my first mission team to the Philippines, the bishop that was in office at that time responded to my question about what we should pray for when we got back home. And his response to me is, oh my, we need revival. And I was stunned. Because what I experienced there was a church on fire, where every single church either had anywhere from 1 to 4 preaching points that were intended to be new church plants, and they were led by lay people because they didn't have enough pastors to go around. And I thought, my, if you need revival there, we need resurrection in the U.S. And we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You for the privilege that is ours to be in a relationship with You, Almighty God, name above all names. We thank You, Father, for the heart that You have for Your church. You gave Your life for us. And Lord, You have asked us in 1 John 3:16 to lay down our lives for our brothers. And Father, I pray that You'll help us not only to do that within the body, but that we'll do that for those that still need a Savior. That we will be able to be alive and take up our mat and walk. That we will answer that question in the affirmative. Yes, we want to be well. We want to be on fire with the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. So come, O God, and renew us. Refresh us. Help us, O God, that we won't just concentrate on sins of that we've committed, but that we'll also respond to, in obedience, to get rid of the sins that we're, where we're not doing your will. Lord, we praise you for the way that you've spoken to us today. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, your blessing on every single one of us here, that we would have hearts ready to stand strong in our faith, that as we leave this place and re-enter our mission field, our areas of influence, that we will not just confine our worship to this time on a Sunday morning, but that we'll realize that our very lives 24/7 should be an act of worship through our obedience. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today, and we give you praise. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.